Today, in this episode of A Place for Everyone, I am speaking with Dina Hunt, who is the Vice President of Family Services for Catholic Charities of Central Colorado. Dina nearly has 20 years in our community working in human services sector. I'm looking forward to sharing more about the many services of Catholic Charities, and in particular, a new housing program they have just opened. Before we dive into today's topic, I would like to thank our host, Studio 809, and the wonderful space, The Next Us. Please visit and consider sharing this location with your friends and other entrepreneurs for a great place in central Colorado Springs.
This is Peak Community, Studio 809 Podcast.
Welcome to A Place for Everyone, the Pikes Peak Region's podcast about housing, homelessness, recovery, and resiliency. This podcast is brought to you by Homeward Pikes Peak. Our mission is to empower individuals and families to access stable housing, increase mental health, and increase recovery and achieve economic stability. I'm your host, Beth Rolstad, the CEO and a social worker. I'm so happy to have Dina here with me today to share more about the amazing mission of Catholic Charities and how it serves our vulnerable neighbors. Dina brings a passion for community solutions, positive outcomes for families, and a huge heart to her role. I was lucky enough to work with Dina in the past at Pikes Peak United Way. I've a lot of questions for you. I'm looking forward to covering all of that. And feel free to let our conversation wander if it needs to. So, welcome, Dina. Let's get started.
Thank you, Beth.
Yeah. So are you willing to share a little bit about how you landed at Catholic Charities and like what was the journey that got you to this new role?
Yeah. So I started my career within the early childhood sector and did a lot of work with early childhood providers, coaching them toward quality, and it really enjoyed kind of that work. After about 8 years in that sector, was able to move into my role with Pikes Peak United Way. And in that role, was able to really learn about the wide range of nonprofits in our community. That's definitely one of the parts of that job that I loved, being able to learn so much about the incredible work that nonprofits do. Mm-hmm. And ultimately led the kind of effort in order to move toward youth success and family stability for Pikes Peak United Way. After about 7 years there, I wanted to get back closer to direct services. And my passion has always really been around children and families. And the role at Catholic Charities as Vice President of Family Services popped up. And it just really seemed like a perfect fit to be able to kind of pull that passion together while also being able to see that impact that we mm-hmm. could make for families.
That's great. You know, I shared just recently with you that I see Catholic Charities as one of the most high-profile, like, safety net organizations. And I think probably a lot of people might have that impression from either the radio ads we hear that talk about Catholic Charities services for families or even billboards. So it really feels like, from what I know about you, that's a great alignment.
Thank you. No, I've really enjoyed my time there, and I get to work with an incredible team of professionals who are supporting children and families every day.
Yeah, that's great. Some of our listeners may not know a lot about Catholic Charities. I had to look up the vision statement just to make sure I knew who I was talking with. And as I read it, the vision of Catholic Charities is to transform lives through relationships that build individual resiliency and thriving communities. So as Vice President of Family Services for the last 5 years, how did your role really carry out that vision?
Yeah. So the work that we do at Catholic Charities is really about building relationships and relationships built on trust. And so we're able to, within the Family Services Department, walk alongside families every day, and we support them as they set goals for themselves and really identifying the services that are best for them. So we provide showers for those who may be unhoused that are families. We also provide laundry services for families. And we have a clothing closet where families can come in and get clothes for their small children or diapers and wipes and formula and things like that. We also go into parenting education. And so as we're looking at transforming lives with parenting supports and peer support, as well as play groups where children can play together and parents can learn about appropriate expectations for a child. Mm-hmm. And then through our case management and life coaching programs, as they set goals, we walk alongside, help them find resources. All of those things are helping families build resilience at the same time.
So that's great.
Yeah.
So some people might think, oh, Catholic Charities is that building on mm-hmm. Cascade. I think it's called the Marian House. Is that where your family services are delivered?
No. So the Marian House is a large part of the work that Catholic Charities does. But the family services are actually provided on our Helen Hunt campus, which is down just east of downtown, so more closer to Memorial Park.
Mm-hmm. Would that be the Hillside neighborhood?
Yes. Yep. At the old Helen Hunt Elementary campus is where most of our family services are provided.
Great. And I've recently learned that your Central Colorado includes up to Castle Rock. So it's much more than just El Paso County.
Yeah. So the Catholic Charities of Central Colorado serves the area of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.
Okay.
And so it's actually 10 counties. Our primary or our offices are in El Paso County and Douglas County and Castle Rock. And so that's where the majority of our clients are coming from. Mm-hmm. We do get requests from some of the parishes in the other 10 counties. And when those come in, we do try to support and connect with resources in their own community first. Mm-hmm. So the diocese actually covers Park and Chaffee County all the way out east to the border. But again, primarily our clients are coming in from El Paso and Douglas counties.
Mm-hmm. Well, those would be probably the two largest cities in the counties, the 10 counties.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think are some of the contributing factors to the struggles of families today?
Yeah, I think like many people would probably respond with poverty, homelessness, solid employment, all of those things. Through our Family Services Department, we really choose to center our programs around the five protective factors in order to reduce child abuse and increase or improve stability and remove risk factors for families. Mm-hmm. And so those would be parental resilience, social connections, concrete supports in times of need, as well as knowledge of child development and then social and emotional competence. Mm-hmm. And so as we're framing the services that we provide through those protective factors, trying to break down some of those other areas of concern. So families are coming to us because they need financial assistance, right? So we're trying to support them with that, in supporting them in identifying employment opportunities, trying to assist with rent assistance when we can. So those are kind of filling those concrete needs mm-hmm. in times, or concrete supports in times of need. But then we're also noticing a huge huge impact of social isolation in our community.
Yeah.
And so we have a wide range of families who come to us. Mostly these families are lower income families.
But they're probably
working. Or there's also families who are coming to us who, if they find our playgroup, they're coming because they can create relationships within playgroup with other families. Mm-hmm. And they're also, some of these families, it's isolation if it's a stay-at-home mom, or and the risks that can come from social isolation and the health factors that can come in with that is something else we really look at. But as we're looking at the poverty and homelessness issues in our community, obviously those are huge.
Yeah.
And trying to identify, along with all the other nonprofits and faith-based organizations and government, how mm-hmm. to solve some of those issues.
Well, those five factors of protective factors that you named are appropriate for individuals
Absolutely.
As well, and seniors. You know, they really cut across
yep.
the whole spectrum of age, family status.
Yep, absolutely. And when when individuals are coming into the Marian House for lunch, mm-hmm. you know, identifying that, and the team there does a fabulous job of trying to learn people's names mm-hmm. because it's that connection yeah. of somebody knows who I am.
Being seen and mm-hmm. receiving a warm smile mm-hmm. and a genuine welcome.
Yeah.
Those go very far in yeah. making someone feel comfortable and safe.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Is there anything else that's done at the Marian House besides the, you know, some people think of it as a soup kitchen, but mm-hmm. I know a lot more happens there.
Yeah, yeah. So the Marian House serves a daily meal. So the soup kitchen portion is a daily meal 365 days a year.
That's beautiful.
And then we also have a marketplace there. So for families or individuals who are housed are able to come in, it's a food pantry that they're able to access additional food resources that way. We also have case management at the Marian House. Mm-hmm. And partnerships in order to provide health resources as well. So we have a faith community nurse there who connects people across the community to health resources. We also have the SET clinic is there in order to provide prescriptions. And other community resources come in. And so we have a long list of partners mm-hmm. who are coming in order to help support those most vulnerable in our community.
That's great. So the Helen Hunt campus where you mm-hmm. are, that's a fairly new expansion. Well, maybe not so new. But can you tell us, when did Catholic Charities move into the Helen Hunt School and build out programming?
Yeah, so in 2014, or 2016, is when D11 chose to close the campus. It used to be an old elementary school. Mm-hmm. So the elementary school actually started, it first opened in 1902.
Wow.
And then in 2016 is when D11 closed the school due to the declining enrollment, and a local foundation purchased the school from D11 to become a nonprofit campus. Mm-hmm. So we joined at that time with other kind of founding nonprofits who joined on the Helen Hunt campus, including CPCD and Peak Parent were a couple of them that are there. And so our family services moved over onto that campus. Then in December of 2022 is when Catholic Charities purchased the campus from the local foundation. Mm-hmm. And that was with the intent of renovating the oldest building on the campus to become transitional housing for families. Yeah. And so that campus, we are grateful that the community has rallied around families, and they, when D11 closed the school, they really wanted it to remain a hub for families. Mm-hmm. And so the nonprofits who were pulled in were serving families primarily and youth. And so now we're able to continue that legacy mm-hmm. by bringing additional families onto the campus and housing.
Yeah. And it really feels that way when I've been over to the Helen Hunt campus. It is in the heart of a neighborhood mm-hmm. and it feels like a hub. It takes up a whole city block, and there's a welcoming space and a playground. And so, yeah, it really feels appropriate and beautiful mm-hmm. that it's still serving the community.
Yeah, the playground is a neighborhood playground. We have families coming from all over the neighborhood to play there. Mm-hmm. We also still have Switchback on the campus. So that's also a gathering place for many people
Great
in the community.
Coffee shop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of those pieces, when we purchased the campus, the neighborhood, those were the two questions, right? Will we get to keep Switchback? And will we get to keep the playground? Mm-hmm. Other than that, they were just so welcoming in the thought that more families will be coming to their community because mm-hmm. of this project.
Yeah. And, you know, a long time ago, I ran the Women's Resource Agency, and it was located in the Citadel Mall. And what we learned talking to clients is that sometimes they could tell people they were going to the mall and they were seeking services at Women's Resource Agency, because sometimes there's a little embarrassment or shame about asking for help. Mm-hmm. And it's quite possible that the cover of having a coffee shop there could be someone's first foray into asking for help, mm-hmm. Or someone's going to the coffee shop and they're in a crisis and they all of a sudden realize that, well, Catholic Charities is right next door. Maybe I could stop in and ask a question.
Yeah. And we have such a wide range of services on the campus that it would be easy for someone to say, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going in for playgroup when right. they're actually going to also visit the clothing closet to get clothes for their children and may have a therapy appointment at the same time. Mm-hmm. So being able to wrap those services around families on one campus has just been ideal.
That is great.
Yeah.
I heard you mention CPCD is on site. Mm-hmm. So that's a Head Start program, and that's early childhood education, right?
Yep. Yeah. So it's the local Head Start grantee. They have four classrooms on site. They've been there since the beginning as well. So we actually just signed a new MOU so that we're able to refer the families who are coming into our housing programs into mm-hmm. their classrooms so that we can ensure that the families that we're serving have appropriate early childhood education for their kids as well.
Oh, that's great. You mentioned a little bit the new housing program. Tell us about that and when did it open?
Yeah, so the ribbon cutting was in August, and we moved our first families in at the end of August. So Hunt Family Housing is a transitional housing program, and transitional housing is defined as housing for a limited period of time. So reasonable housing for a limited period of time. And so we are transitional housing. We're bringing families in who most of them have been unsheltered or else coming out of shelter. And they can stay for up to 6 months, kind of in a probationary period or a trial mm-hmm. period, while we're trying to get to know them a little bit better, understand what their needs are. And then beyond that, they would be engaging in services in order to remain while they continue to work on their goals. Mm-hmm. So we were able to move in two families right away, right after that ribbon cutting. And we've been slowly adding to that. So we're currently at about 50% capacity and plan to be at 100% capacity before the end of the calendar year, before Christmas, because we don't want families to be outside over the holidays.
Yeah, so. That's great. And are there 24 units of housing?
Yep. Yep, 24 units. It's a mix of studio units, one bedroom, two bedroom, and then we have one three bedroom unit. And yeah, trying to make the most efficient use of the spaces mm-hmm. while also ensuring that families have the space that they need. Right. So yeah, it's been a really interesting process as we've built that out.
I think the saving the historic school mm-hmm. and using as much of that old space and design as possible really makes that program a treasure. I know that took a lot of effort, some very creative work from your architects and general contractor. Do you have any tidbits or story you'd like to share about that?
Oh, the architects did a fabulous job, and they really built within the structure. So we didn't have to tear out walls. We just built within the classrooms in order to build out these different size units. So one classroom would either be two studio units or else a two-bedroom unit. Mm-hmm. And then we were even able to build one bedrooms in what used to be the old gym space. And so super high ceilings in those units for sure.
Yeah.
And they're just beautiful.
We
kept the structure with the windows, so they have so much natural light coming into every single unit. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the windows, some of the same flooring is there. So the creaky wood floors on the first floor. But I love that.
I love that too.
Old historic aspect of it.
Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah, it's been a great project to be part of mm-hmm. and seeing that historic value included and valued as we're building the programs out has mm-hmm. been just a treasure.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a studio apartment. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you allow a single adult to move in, or is it intended for a parent plus one child?
Parent plus one child would be our typical.
Mm-hmm.
Many of our studio units do have like a double bunk, so a double bed plus a twin bunk on top.
Mm-hmm.
So we could potentially have a two-parent household with one small child in that unit as well.
Yeah.
The studio units are also connecting, so almost like the old motel style mm-hmm. where if we had to, we could put a larger family into two studio units while we waited for a two-bedroom to open up.
Oh, that's great.
We haven't had that yet.
Yeah.
So we've been able to put people into the appropriate mm-hmm. units right away mm-hmm. at this point. But yeah, just options for us to consider moving forward.
Well, and I've even heard of like three-generation families mm-hmm. that come in together. So what if you had a grandparent and a parent and a child, and if it all worked out, they could get this connecting unit.
Mm-hmm.
And then people have the dignity of the space, you know, personal space, but also the ability to help each other out.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So you never know who's going to present themselves.
Never know. And you never know what those structures will be, right? I mean, mm-hmm. if grandparent is the primary caregiver and there's three kids, you know, what does that look like mm-hmm. as we're moving families in?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's really great. Having opened a housing program myself recently, I learned a lot about this staggered move-in. And I think it's really wise that you're going slowly, because it's a lot of change for the individuals and families that move in, and the staff. It's a huge change for staff.
It is a huge change for staff, and the things we learn every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is like, okay, we need a policy around that, or, oh, we need to figure out whose role that is to fix this problem. I mean, the families that we've moved in have been incredibly gracious as we've worked out some of our kinks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, they are, like I said, the majority of families that we've moved in have come in that have been either unsheltered or else from shelter, or maybe like couch surfing and moving from one place to another and don't have any stability
mm-hmm.
and recognizing their need to stabilize too,
mm-hmm.
trying to come with that trauma-informed approach of too much change too quickly for them can also be a problem.
Yes.
And letting them get to know each other before there's so many, right?
Yeah,
so that slow community building is also mm-hmm. important.
I think so too. And I think I noticed that every unit came furnished. Is mm-hmm. that true?
basic furnishings in every unit. So there is beds, a couch, as well as table and chairs. We want to incorporate that value of being able to eat together for dinner if possible. So every unit does have a table and chairs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also think that a kitchen table becomes a homework spot.
Absolutely.
And a place you write bills. Yep. So it's really a gathering space for, and has so many uses.
Absolutely. Yeah. And some of the units, the bigger units, our three bedroom actually has two different tables, right? So we can have two different uses there if needed.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it could be used as the desk or as other things, craft tables. Too, you know, all of those things.
All
for the
things.
Little kids.
That's great. Yeah. That's really wonderful. So, what is it like to collaborate with the other housing partners in our community to help fill that Helen Hunt program?
I will say the other housing providers in our community have been incredible in working with us. That's one of the joys that I have of kind of building out this program model is being able to work with the other housing providers, including you. I mean, I came and talked to you right at the beginning to say, what would you do? Uh-huh. And so you gave me some good tips and tricks on this is what we've learned. Maybe don't do this, or this has worked really well. Also worked with Partners in Housing and Family Life Services and Mary's Home, all of these other transitional programs. Providers who have been so gracious in sharing lessons learned and things that they might do differently. We've also been able to work closely with them as we're filling. We don't want to. So Hunt Family Housing was never meant to duplicate anything that anyone else is doing. And so wanted to make sure that what we're providing is just a little bit different.
But there's also plenty of need out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As we first launched, wanted to make sure that families had applied at some of the other transitional housing programs. And so we're reaching out to Partners in Housing to say, hey, have they submitted an application and why weren't they included? Or is there something we should be looking at differently with this family? But we are taking the referrals that are coming to us aren't really referrals, and I've been told not to use that word, but it's we're taking families off of the coordinated entry list with the Pikes Peak Continuum of Care. So any family who comes into housing with Hunt Family Housing needs to have done a VI SPADAT, which is the vulnerability index. And so as a community, we're looking at these families and what are the options available to them. And there's not a lot of options coming off that list for families.
There isn't.
And so we're able to take a look at the list, identify those who transitional housing might be the best fit, and then have conversations with them.
And I think that's really helpful because it was understanding the families experiencing homelessness in El Paso County to why we created the commons to have over half of the units available for families. And the research tells us that we still need additional homes for families.
Absolutely.
So I'm so thankful that the Hunt Housing Program has opened. And we probably could fill another 50 to 100 more housing units for families if we had a magic wand.
What we're learning as well is families were coming to us because they had heard, whether it's on the news or through another provider, about the housing. And as we were looking at that coordinated entry list, families hadn't necessarily been given the VI SPADAT for a little while because there weren't a lot of resources in our community. And so now as we're pushing and saying we need every family to be accounted for on this list, it keeps growing. And there's also, I mean, families don't want to admit that they're experiencing homelessness because they're for valid fear, and no one wants to have their children taken away or admit that they're struggling in that way. And so the families that we're serving and identifying more and more and getting them on that list in order to have a better count of what homelessness for families in our community actually is.
And some of our listeners may not know that there's a screening process with the VI SPADAT, and based on how many challenges or barriers an individual, the head of household has, makes an appropriate referral to an appropriate program. So transitional housing does require that a head of household has the capacity to work and has the capacity to become independent within a time frame, whereas the current permanent supportive housing has an understanding that these are folks with very complex needs, maybe diagnosed mental health issues, co-occurring illness with an addiction or a physical disability. And so their challenges are greater and their pathway to independence looks very different. So that's why we do the screening, have a by name list so that we can make that appropriate referral to a program type.
Yes.
Yeah. I should have asked before, how did Catholic Charities decide it wanted to expand into the housing? Because that was new for you all.
Yeah. So we had several years ago, a donor up in Douglas County donated a townhouse to us. And so we've had a townhouse up in Parker where we've been able to place a family who's working with case managers at our Castle Rock office. And we have had landlords here in town who have worked with us a little bit on having emergency apartments here and there. But as we continued to talk with our life coaches, who do our case management, housing was the biggest barrier for families. Mm-hmm. We could identify employment. We can increase cash savings. We have a specific assessment that we use for families to see where they're coming in at. But housing was the hardest thing for us to solve and for us to provide resources for. Yeah. So Andy Barton, our CEO, started having some conversations with others in the community. And it's interesting. I think it was my first month on the job when we had a meeting and he said, what do you know about housing? I was like, well, not a lot, but I can learn. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I think this is something we need to start looking at. So at that point, really started looking at other providers in our community as well as statewide and what that could look like for us. It was when the local foundation who owned the Helen Hunt campus actually had come and to Andy and had said, hey, we're looking at potentially wanting to invest in some other things. Would you be interested in purchasing the campus? And that was when everything fell in place. Mm-hmm. And it was, this is the time. This is what we need to do.
Yeah,
so great. Architects had walked through and construction walked through the building. And like I said, the building was started in 1902. So there was a historical building that we were working with. But amazingly, everything was able to come together to really form this amazing complex for families.
I think that's great. And actually, I think that kind of slow analysis of the issue and then having things fall into place naturally, organically, really just kept giving you signals that we're moving in the right direction as an organization and serving our community in a great way.
Yeah. Just continuing to listen. I mean, we would continue to have conversations with staff as well as with the board on, is this the direction we need to move in? And continued to hear that there weren't enough resources for families. Yeah. And we know there's not enough resources for individuals as well, right?
That's right. I believe the city and county will be releasing a housing needs assessment soon. And I think it's going to state that as a community, we need 39,000 units of housing to serve the projected population.
Wow.
So that is a lot. Mm-hmm. That's for individuals and families. Mm-hmm. And that is rental units and homes for purchase.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you look at the clients that we're serving, and in order to be eligible for Hunt Family Housing, they have to be at 30% of the area median income, which is an extremely low income category.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Well, I think for a family of three, a AMI at 30% is approximately $35,000 a year.
Yeah.
That is very low, and that is someone working part-time or at minimum wage.
Yes, yeah. And so most of the families that we have seen come in are either working part-time or not working at all simply because of the barriers that have been placed in front of them with not being able to find childcare or having an illness or something that took them out of the workforce. Or we're also seeing single moms who are coming in that have never maybe had to work before, and they've been put into circumstances where now they do need to work and need to support their children. And so being in a car for months and trying to support your children is not somewhere that, you know, you can truly thrive.
No, not
at
all.
And so, when we're looking at the housing inventory in our community, ensuring there's something there for those as well.
I think that's great. You mentioned that there is a time limit to housing. Is that fairly discreet, or is it by case-by-case basis?
It's a case-by-case basis. Like I said, we will continue to work with families as they're working on goals. Mm-hmm. Transitional housing is typically up to 2 years, but is not a guarantee for 2 years, because if someone comes in, they have to come in at 30% AMI. And then we will be watching. We have to recertify every year. If they get up to a certain point, then we need to say, okay, you've graduated from this program. But as they're working toward their goals, it may also be just easy, as they're working toward their goals, being able to say, I'm ready for this next step. I want more independence. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to have to check in with a case manager once a month mm-hmm. or have people coming in, and we will be doing some home visits and wanting to make sure that there's not other life skills that may need to be learned around, and making sure there's enough food in the home and things like that. So independence may be something that will help someone move on into something that is market rate or into another low income or affordable housing complex. Yeah, we also currently aren't able to allow guests based or visitors based on some of the safety concerns of some of our and wanting to keep everyone safe that's mm-hmm. that's currently living there. And that may also be a reason why they say, I need to move on because yeah. I want to be able to have my sister come over and help watch the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are all okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's something else we need to think about as nonprofit organizations that run programs. We are able to design programs that work for us, that allow the clients to be safe and thrive. And then when someone's ready, they can move into a personal leased space and have all the freedoms that any tenant who has a lease or has a mortgage can enjoy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So do you think there'll be other housing programs in the future for Catholic Charities of Central Colorado?
So we're looking. Mm-hmm. Catholic Charities has recently been able to hire a vice president of housing who is kind of doing research on what the market throughout the diocese would be. No definite plans in place yet, but mm-hmm. definitely looking to see what the opportunities would be in our community.
Yeah. Well, you gain some expertise on rehabilitation of old buildings, yeah. you know, in these other 9 counties, perhaps there's a building just waiting to grow into a new life.
Yeah.
That's yeah. exciting. Fantastic. Well, is there anything else that you're doing that you would like to highlight the work of Catholic Charities and the Family Services?
So I think that the within Family Services and within Hunt Family Housing and all of our services, it we're really working to see how we can be wrapping around a family. So one of the unique things about Hunt Family Housing is any family who moves into housing will be connected with a life coach for case management, parent educator for those parenting supports, as well as someone from our behavioral health team or a therapist who can also help support them with their mental health. Yeah. And we're also wanting to provide that for every family who comes to us. So it's not just those in housing, and recognizing everyone has different needs and making it a healthy way to ask for help, as well as being open to the other needs that may be out there. We're also connecting them to the marketplace for food resources. Mm-hmm. So we're working hard as an organization to also build consistency throughout yeah. in order to ensure that everyone has access to these resources.
That's great. And you used the word life coach several times, and they're a full-time employee. They're not volunteers, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our life coaches have some very specific training. They're trained in motivational interviewing. They also, and they provide the case management to our families. So mm-hmm. depending on which organization you ask and who you talk to, right, we all have our different titles. Mm-hmm. And life coaches have been what we've called those case managers in family services for probably 6-7 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's we don't have cases to manage. These are people that we're working with. And so wanting to be intentional about that.
Yep.
But our life coaches advocate for families. That's what they're doing. And they're walking alongside families. All of the staff at Catholic Charities just have such a heart and passion for the work. And so it's just incredible to watch mm-hmm. those successes and then how we all rally around each other when there's a challenge, and then how we can mm-hmm. also celebrate with each other when there's a success.
Yeah.
And success can be very small.
Exactly. And we have to celebrate each little success.
Yes, yes. A family who has struggled to come in on time came to their appointment on time. That mm-hmm. may be a success one day, where moving a family into stable housing and they have the resources necessary in order to continue to pay the rent can be a success the next mm-hmm. day.
Yeah, definitely. Is there anything that the Helen Hunt Housing Program needs? Because this could be an open call to the community, or is there something broadly that your department needs inside Catholic Charities?
So Hunt Family Housing, like Beth mentioned, all units are fully furnished or have basic furnishings. We're also trying to provide the basic necessities for families. Since many of them are coming in either unsheltered or from shelter, we're providing sheets and towels and those basic items for families to feel successful. as they come in, and many of them aren't employed. So using very limited resources or benefits in order to purchase those items doesn't feel like the best use.
Right. So you may be even needing donations of kitchenware and coffee pots or something small that each household, a typical household, would need.
Yep. Yep. So we are asking for donations to be new.
Okay.
So new sheets, and we have twin size and full size beds, or blankets or towels for families to be able to shower, or hygiene items. There's so many different things when you think of setting up a household. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about moving my kids into dorms, right? What are the items, the basic items that I needed to provide for them in order to feel like they were able to live a normal life for a little bit until they were able to get the extras.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, and we're asking for items to be new simply for the dignity of the family to be able to have something that's theirs.
Yeah.
And when they move out, they are able to take those items with them. They leave the basic furniture behind, but towels, sheets, cookware, things like that, they'd be able to take with them in order to move into their next space.
That's great. And if a community member had a donation, where would they bring it to?
They could bring it to the Helen Hunt campus. We're currently accepting those in our Family Connections office. So that address is 917 East Moreno. And we have staff there, open door from 9 to 2. If someone comes with donations after that, just let us know and we can make sure to accept those.
Okay, so that's great. I'll make sure to share that information in our show notes when we publish the episode. Thank you so much for coming and talking today and sharing about the Hunt campus. I'm really excited about it.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. It's always fun to talk with you.
Great. Well, that's our show today for A Place for Everyone. Thank you, Dina. I'll include contact information for Dina, Catholic Charities of Central Colorado, and the address of the Hunt campus in our show notes. If you would like more information about Homeward Pikes Peak, please contact us through our social media sites or our website. And that address is homewardpp.org. Thank you, and have a great day.